Somewhere on the East Coast, deep underground, in an undisclosed location, three friends get together and record Midnight Triple Feature.
Hello and welcome to episode 24 of the Midnight Triple Feature podcast. You can find us on the web at midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com, on Twitter and Facebook at MTFeature. You can subscribe to our channels through iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YouTube. And you can send feedback and requests to midnighttriplefeature@gmail.com. For today's show, we are discussing the 1971 drive-in B-movie, The Chooper, also known as Bloodshack, and a 1988 low-budget Bill Hinesman-directed zombie film, Flesh Eater. This podcast may contain spoilers. Enjoy.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
All right, welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. Let's start off by saying I found out that Facebook doesn't post everything. So every time we post, you don't see everything. So if you head over to the page and you see something, if you share it, and then, you know, other people can see it. Other than that, they have this weird policy where they're not letting us. Right? Yeah, it's new.
So there's other, like, not, well, I don't want to say businesses, but like organizations or groups or whatever you want to call it, saying that, yeah, Facebook now doesn't show everything that you post. If you're like a podcast or a band, or they just selectively show stuff. You have to go in and actively follow. Because they have like the follow option. I think if you go in and follow them, you'll see everything. Otherwise, you have to. It's kind of stupid.
So if you see it, just share it so everybody else can see it. It helps us out.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, if you're slacking off at work and you got an extra few minutes to kill, or you're over at iTunes downloading some music, if you want to stop and give us a positive review on iTunes, we found out that that matters too.
Yeah.
So that helps us out and keeps us going.
Yep, that'd be nice.
You can, you know, head over to midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Adam's got it all hooked up over there, so all you got to do is hit a button and it takes you all those places.
Right.
You don't even got to think about it anymore.
That's right. Bookmark right. that page and you're good to go.
That's right. Adam's here.
Hello, fucking zombie. What the fuck was that?
I pulled that out of the last show. I was laughing when I heard it, and then it got stuck on a loop.
Fucking a zombie. What the fuck?
Hey, Adam, what are you doing this weekend?
Fucking a zombie.
I stopped over your house the other day. I was knocking on a door. I heard you in there. What the hell were you doing?
Fucking a zombie. What the fuck? So now we got sound bites. It's great.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
you got one of Jeff, too?
Jeff's here.
Hey, what's up?
Have your friends for breakfast.
I don't even know what the hell you were talking about there, either.
Did he say that?
Yeah, that was him.
Have your friends for breakfast.
What the fuck? What was that in...
I didn't even recognize my own voice.
Yeah.
Sounded like a cartoon character.
Yeah, I thought that was like a movie clip.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what he was talking about. He was talking to you during it, though, when I was cutting it.
Fucking zombie. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Adam, what do you do when Jeff's having his friends for breakfast?
Fucking a zombie. It's not like the one sound bite you got. Just me saying that.
Oh, I laughed when I heard it. Yeah, I don't.
Well, that's the thing. He controls it.
I control that part of it.
Although
so.
I can cut shit into the YouTube ones.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So I do the final edits on those.
All right. Yes, we're all here. We'll get started.
Want to do recently seen?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I'll start. I got two. I saw Riddick, the new Riddick movie, finally.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. I never saw The Chronicles of Riddick.
I heard that it really sucked.
Me too.
So I've been kind of avoiding it.
Well, I liked Pitch Black quite a bit, the
Me
first
too.
One. And then, so Chronicles of Riddick I never watched, but the new Riddick movie is actually not bad.
Really?
It's
on Netflix.
Is it? Yeah, I had a copy of it from a while back, so I finally watched it. And it's back, well, it's, first of all, it's back to its R rating, so it's got all the violence again that the first one had. That I guess the second one didn't. But the premise is very similar to Pitch Black.
Mm-hmm.
So basically Riddick is left on this planet alone. And they try to kill him, but of course he doesn't die. And he sets off this beacon and two sets of bounty hunters come to collect him because they want the bounty on his head. And if he's dead, it's double. So basically, they're trying to kill him, and he starts picking them off one by one, basically. But at the same time, there's this massive storm coming in the background on this planet, and there's these creatures, kind of like in Pitch Black, that live, that come in the storm. So as the storm comes in, all these creatures start attacking everybody and tearing everybody apart. And it's very similar to Pitch Black in plot, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because Pitch Black was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. I think you should check it out. I actually thought it was pretty good. Some good action. I actually like Vin Diesel a lot in his movies. Some good violence. There's even some nudity. Yeah. So there you go.
Nude aliens?
No. A nude lesbian ship captain lady. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
So a woman in authority.
Oh, yeah. And they're constantly making jokes back and forth, like, about how she's going to fuck Riddick. Like, you know, like, it's she's not really going to, but there's, like, there's all this sexual jokes and stuff.
Wow. The innuendos.
Yeah, but there's some really great, like, there's some great scenes just with him, like, fucking killing monsters and shit.
I'm going to have to watch it then. I've been avoiding it.
Yeah, check it out.
I've been told it sucked.
Check it out. It's worth it. Definitely is worth it. The only other thing I watched, and this is a weird one to mention, but I only mention it because it's about video games. We've talked about video games before. Did you ever hear the movie The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters? It's a documentary from... I just watched it the other night, and I'd seen it a long time ago, I don't remember, but I'm just mentioning it because it's... we talked about, like, the Atari games and shit. This whole documentary is about the guys, like, in the 80s that were, like, not console, but, like, the fucking, like, machines, the big machines, like, the champions... But they still play today, and they're still, like, obsessed with it. So, like, they just spend all their days in, like, Fun Spot playing arcade games, and they're all in their 40s. And, like, there's this, right, and then basically there's this one guy, and his name is Steve Wiebe, and he comes out and he wants to beat the Donkey Kong world record. So he beats it, and then there's, like, this whole thing where, like, there's this conspiracy among all the other gamers to basically deny his score. And it plays out kind of like a sports movie in a weird kind of way, but they're making fun of them at the same time. Like, did you ever see The Karate Kid?
Yeah.
And you remember how at the end, how there's the montage at the end, and it's like, you're the best around, right? You know what I'm talking about? Well, there's this whole scene where they're all like having a competition playing like Donkey Kong and shit, and that song is playing, like, as they're playing video games. So it plays out really funny, because what they're doing is, like, one guy compares it to, like, basically like a triathlon playing video games. And then one guy is talking about how controversial he is, and how he basically is kind of like as controversial as the abortion issue. And you're like, dude, you play Donkey Kong for a living. You're in no way are you as controversial as abortion. But it's actually a lot of fun. There's like one dude on there, he's 30, he's retired. He retired at 30, and he moved to New Hampshire so he could live down the street from Fun Spot and play every day.
How the hell do you retire at 30?
You become a millionaire.
Exactly. You gotta know. But the really funny thing about, like, that guy is he's obsessed with Donkey Kong, but he can't beat the score. So he can only get like 500,000, which is a lot. But like Steve Wiebe comes in and he gets like 980,000, like, in his, like, his first try. And this dude's like standing over his shoulder the whole time, breathing down his neck.
He's got his quarter on
it's
the screen.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's so funny. You really should check it out.
Remember those days you go into the arcade? And just so that somebody knew that you were next, you put your quarters down.
Yeah.
And you just stand there and wait. And then it pisses the person off who's playing, because now they gotta go faster.
I got next game.
Yeah.
It's just funny to see, because you also see how, like, they cheat. They fake scores. They'll put, like, they'll put altered boards into the machine so they can get higher scores. Like, it seems so ridiculous, but the lengths that they'll go to win.
I don't know.
These video games, these are grown men.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, one guy's like, you don't get a lot of, what does he call it? He's like, DDGs around here. And he's like, if you don't know what that is, that's Drop Dead Gorgeous Girls. I was like, holy shit, man. Yeah. And they, like, wear, like, the carpal tunnel gloves and shit when they play.
Like the fucking bowling gloves?
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome. It's, I don't know, highly recommend. It's called The King of Kong. Highly recommend it.
Where was it?
I have it on DVD. I bought it way back, and I watched it once. And then last night, I have a 400 disc changer, a DVD changer. So I randomly picked one. It was like midnight. So I randomly picked one, and that came up. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. And then I was like, this is actually really good. I forgot how good it really is.
I'll have to look that up, see if it's on Netflix or Amazon.
I'll get you guys a copy of it. It's pretty good. Cool. That's all I got.
Cool.
Who's on next?
I'll go next.
You right. go?
Yeah. I have two. Actually, I have three, but I'll just narrow it down to one. I watched Sylvester Stallone's ICU.
How was that?
It was very good. I own it, actually. And, I always revisit a lot of Stallone's movies. And this one is more of a suspense thriller. He's a cop. He's chasing after the serial killer. He's actually an FBI agent chasing after the serial killer. And he's getting too close to him, so the serial killer kills his fiance. And after that happens, he just goes over the edge. You know?
And it's like a vengeance, like he's going after them then?
He didn't expect to have any vengeance. He hit the bottle pretty good.
Huh.
And tried to kill himself. I don't want to give away any kind of spoiler or not, but to explain the movie.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've never seen it.
His friend gets him up to this place where they rehabilitate, cops and agents and shit like that. And, so the whole movie is set in, I want to say it's out in South Dakota, somewhere out Midwest. I forget where exactly, but there's a lot of snow. That's all I know. And it's in this old military installation, or institution, I should say, for psychiatric people.
Mike, you haven't seen it?
No.
No.
And through the course of the movie, there's a group of cops in there trying to get better, and all of a sudden they start coming up dead. obvious. It's an obvious plot.
Right.
It's an exciting thriller. Sylvester Stallone, he's got some good. He does some good acting in that.
He is
a good actor.
He can act.
He acts more. He has more of a non-intellectual type.
Yeah.
Kind of an acting.
Well, yeah. I mean, in Rocky, he's just playing like
Rambo.
Yeah, a Rambo. Right.
He's
good in the first. He's actually really good in the first Rambo movie too. He's surprisingly good. So.
Yeah. It's a good movie. I recommend it just as a once watch. I own it and I liked it, so I watch it many times. But, there you have it. I don't know, it's probably 4 minutes right there. Right?
Mike?
I haven't been watching too much, not with the Stanley Cup playoffs.
By
the time I get home and I watch that, it's already midnight.
I can watch a lot of movies now.
Yeah, I know. I know the last time we were here, the Bruins were kicking ass. They lost, actually, to Montreal then.
And the Rangers
won against the Penguins.
You're right, they did. That's right.
And now there are no more Bruins.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are still kicking ass. So that's how that goes.
And now they got to play the Canadians, right?
It starts tomorrow at 1, and I'm booked at work until 1 o'clock. So something's
getting
done.
They're starting a game at 1 tomorrow?
1 o'clock, yeah. Usually that's a weird time. Not on Saturday. It's usually almost all Saturday games are like noon, 1 o'clock. Yeah. Because then baseball's on.
Tomorrow Red Sox have a night game.
Yeah.
So
I think the Yankees return today tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they already postponed it.
Oh, did they?
I thought so. Or they postponed tonight's game.
I know today was postponed because of rain.
Today. Okay. They have a double.
Because of downpour today. I guess it's supposed to be pretty nice tomorrow, so.
Yes, yeah. I know someone that's going to the Red Sox game tomorrow. So I know two people that are going.
It's supposed to clear up in the afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, I like baseball, but it's like...
Yeah, I know.
It seems like this season, like I was so excited about the season, the Yankees got Tanaka.
Yeah, but
and then it was like...
They aren't doing so hot anyway, though, right?
Oh, well, Tanaka's just shutting everybody out.
Well, Tanaka is, yeah.
Yeah. But does baseball seem longer this season?
Baseball's always long,
Yeah, but I don't know, it just seems to be drawn out.
We were just talking about this at work today, So they're an interleague play right now, right? Like, if they just cut out interleague play, because interleague play is pointless anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it out.
Always has been.
Cut it out, because that's however many weeks of play that you could take completely out of the season, and you could start it later or end it earlier or both. Because right now, man, baseball goes from April through October. That's a long time.
Well, see, and when I'm watching a hockey game, I flip.
Right.
I'll watch a little bit of the intermission, see what's going on, right. And then I'll switch over to the baseball game. And it's like at the Yankees game the other night started before the hockey game.
Well, yeah, that's the other
thing. And was only in the fifth inning when the hockey game ended.
That's the other, like a Red Sox Yankee game go like 4 hours on average. And baseball is almost every night. So, you know, what I mean?
Like, it's and sometimes not, twice a day.
Yeah, so you don't get that, like, oh, 2 days a game and then a game and 2 days. You know what I mean? You don't get those gaps.
Yeah.
You get, like, a day off and then three games. So that's the difference, too. There's just a lot of games.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So I haven't been watching too much anything, but I did watch Beneath Loch Ness. It's on Netflix from 2002. It's basically about the Loch Ness Monster.
No,
and
no said.
It just comes out of the water and just starts killing people.
Was it good?
Yeah, actually, I was surprised. So when I first put it on, and I almost never do this, I looked it up on IMDb while it was, you know, the credits were going
sometimes
up and stuff.
Sometimes that's a bad thing to do.
And it was like they gave it a 3.1. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, God, right. So now I'm going to turn it off. But yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch it to see if it's really as bad as these people say it is. It wasn't
probably
that bad.
Not, yeah.
It wasn't that bad at all. It was actually a pretty good creature feature. The actual film itself is great, but the monster is CGI. So, but I mean, other than that, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
It's actually done really well. So, I would say check it out. It's just about...
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's just about, like, some people are looking for the Loch Ness Monster, and these young kids are trying to pull a hoax.
That's funny.
And...
Is it found footage?
No, it's not, actually. Okay. Yeah. I could see that. I could see it being that,
though.
Well,
when you were describing it, it automatically sounded found footage, but...
There's one dude, apparently there's a hole... There's a conspiracy theory, or I don't even know if it's a conspiracy theory, I don't know. But apparently there's a hole in Loch Ness that leads out to the ocean. So that's why they say this creature could actually be going back and forth from Loch Ness
right.
to the it's ocean and
right.
never be seen. And the dude falls in a hole. I don't know how he falls in the hole. Well, he gets a rock.
Isn't the loch like a mile deep or
it's
something?
It's deep. It's really
yeah.
deep. And this dude gets hit with a rock, and the rock pulls him down this huge cavern. Supposedly that goes out to the ocean. So this other dude comes back to try to find his body, and then that's when all the shit goes down. But it's actually pretty good. It's not bad.
Right.
It's a good creature feature for being a modern-day creature feature when they're not too good anymore.
Well, when you're talking about, you know, like Sharkpuss and Gatoroid and all that,
yeah,
all you're getting is sci-fi stuff. I tend to be kind of weary of creature features, you know.
Yeah, Sharknado is, oh, you texted me about it.
Riff Tracks Alive, yeah, it's coming.
All right.
It's coming to town.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's next
Although
month.
When I went on the thing is I went on the site to see if they had tickets and they don't have tickets. But if you go on to the theater's site on their schedule, it's listed for that Thursday. So I don't know what's going on. They couldn't have sold out, right?
No way. No way.
They said the Riff Tracks guys said they expect the event to sell out. But in our town, probably not. So,
yeah, it's not that they're never going to
yeah,
sell that.
So
out
I'm wondering
over there.
If there's just something there where like they're having it's not set up correctly. But yeah,
either
it's
that
listed.
Or maybe it's buy at door, which I wouldn't think.
Doesn't make sense because you can buy like they're showing it again the following Tuesday in Waterbury, so you can see the follow up showing in Waterbury.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I definitely want to see that though.
It'd be awesome to see it.
Yeah, because the second one's already done and they're working on a third one already.
Yeah, I know. Sharknado the second one is coming out. In July, and then Sharknado 3
is being worked on right now.
Yeah, Sharknado 2 is in New York, right? So
yeah,
it's New York City, and it's got the same two people.
Yeah, oh yeah,
Ian Ziering and Tara Reid.
Yeah,
what they're doing in New York, and why there's another Sharknado, I can only imagine. But
so, check it out.
Yeah,
yeah. See Sharknado. You missed that whole boom. I didn't watch it until afterwards.
It was
anyway.
A big thing,
but it was huge.
I know the first one's on Netflix.
It is.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah.
Yeah,
Tara Reid's in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a sci-fi made-for-TV movie, but it's really stupid, but it is a fun movie.
It was filmed in, like, 23 days or something like that.
Yeah, it's really low budget. Yeah. It made for, like, $1 million or something. I don't know. It's fun, though. It was a fun movie.
The guys from Mystery Science Theater,
yeah, they
have a group called Riff Tracks now, and they do it live. So you can go sit in a theater, and they're on microphones talking during the movie.
They talk over the movie.
They talk over the movie, and they're doing Sharknado.
Right. So it's basically Mystery Science Theater 3000 live in a theater.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
They're doing it in Torrington. So
that's all I got. I'm all caught up on my Arrow.
Yeah.
You caught up on Arrow?
No, I haven't.
I'm gonna spoil it.
Marvel too, huh?
I'm one episode behind on Marvel.
And they got Flash now too, right? The trailer came out for Flash. The Flash.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because he's
channel,
from Arrow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It's off of Arrow, right? So
yeah.
They got Flash coming out now too.
Yep.
I haven't had any time. I've been watching Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, I know AMC started this, and I don't know exactly why everybody adopted the split season. I hate it.
Well, the split season, I mean, that's the thing that I hate. So
that was started by Lost.
Yeah, but, Lost,
I mean,
started
they've always done split a lot of split season stuff. Like, I think 20 didn't 24 do split seasons?
I don't think so.
But I mean, they had they would do most shows. Like, if you go all the way back and watch, say, House, I mean, 8 episodes in the fall, 8 episodes in the spring is a typical season. My issue with the way AMC does it is they do 8 episodes in the summer, 8 episodes in the summer. So you gotta wait a year. Like, usually it's like the way they do Walking Dead on AMC, October to December, February to March, or February to April. So, you get the winter off and then you get episodes and then summer off. That is a typical season for most, like, dramatic shows. Like, if you were to go back and look, like, I remember plenty of shows being that way. Reality shows don't do it.
No. But just give me my 16 or 20 episodes. Like, right. Arrow's like 22. It's a normal season. Right. It runs right through. It's on
every week. They had a brief break.
Well, yeah, when the season ended, right. And then it came back.
Yeah.
I mean, I know why they do it. So, like, okay, they expect viewership to drop in December because everybody's busy doing all this shit, so they expect it. And then in the summer, they expect the same thing. Like, a lot of that's why... Like, they want to end pre-summer because they figure in the summer people watch less TV in the summer than they do in the fall. So that's why in the summer you get, like, the weird shows. That's when they do, like, Big Brother and, like, weird reality shows and stuff like that. Stuff that they aren't that care that much about, and they put all their big shit in the fall and the spring. But it's all built around viewership. So they do it based on, like, around Christmas people aren't watching, or a lot of the networks want to air other shit. So, like, in December, my guess is, like, say, a major network like NBC wants to put aside a Thursday to air It's a Wonderful Life or Rudolph or Frosty.
They do that anyway, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying they don't have to worry about it interfering with a regular season. So, like, if, let's say they had a regular show running every Thursday night, and then December hits, right? Now you have a Thursday night show. Do you air Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that's going to get millions of viewers and piss off your audience because you're not going to air their show? Or do you just cut the season in November and say, we'll be back in February and not have to worry about it?
I don't think people are getting pissed off at Rudolph.
Well, you know.
80
diehards, probably 15%.
They will, though. They'll be like, people will get on the internet and be like, you know, like Twitter on at NBC, like, why the fuck are you wearing Rudolph over the finale
fuck Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see the finale of the, you know, My Mother or whatever the fuck that show is. Oh. Who the fuck's My Mother?
Oh, I Met Your Mother.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate the split season. I hate it. I think it's stupid.
I'm just used to it. So,
see, I'm not. I don't like it.
What I hated about it was when Lost was doing it, they were rehashing old episodes. Like, don't show me shit I've already seen.
I didn't watch Lost.
That's
I'm glad
okay.
I see
The Walking Dead did that, and I hated it.
Yeah, I
don't split the season and then show me the first part of the split season when you could be running new episodes.
Yeah. I don't want to see shit that I've seen already.
Full House didn't do that. Full House gave me 16 episodes and I was happy.
Oh, yeah. Full House wasn't an episode of drama, though. So Full House, every episode ended storyline. Like, Full House, it didn't start with, like, all right, so you start the season and then by mid-season, Danny's addicted to heroin. And then, you know what I mean? Like, DJ's, like, sucking dudes off for drugs. And then by the end of the season, it's all, you know what I mean? Like, they had a, like,
that would have been a better season.
It might have been Danny sucking the guys off.
One of the twins gets kidnapped.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was like Michelle goes to kindergarten and she makes a mistake. And then by the 24-minute mark, the problem is solved and you move on. So you never had to worry about it because you didn't care.
Yeah, every episode was a movie start to finish.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's sitcom setup. Whereas dramas... Especially now, because even, like, the old cop dramas, I think, tended to end. Like, one episode was a full storyline. Now they know, if we can catch you in the first two episodes or so, we're going to get you for 16. Because we're going to continue to cliffhang it all the way to the end.
That's all old 80s sitcom.
Yeah.
That they give you, like, Magnum P.I. Magnum P.I., Fantasy Island, Love Boat. Right. All those sitcoms or those TV shows, they ended...
Yeah.
After first episode.
Yeah. When you really think about it, it doesn't make sense to do it that way, because if you do a show that way, you watch one episode, you can come back at any time.
Yeah.
If you're watching The Walking Dead, if you miss episode 3...
You're screwed.
Right, you're screwed. So now you have to watch it, because if you want to watch episode 4, 5, and 6, you better watch 3. Yeah. I mean... So it actually makes sense from the network perspective, because they're going to force you to watch.
But this is a day in the age of DVR.
Right.
So people aren't waiting
right.
till Monday night or Sunday night to sit down and watch a show when they're just going to hit their DVR. They're going to watch it when they want to anyway.
That's true. Right.
So why the split season doesn't matter at that point because it's just going to be set up to record anyway.
True.
And then you have places but like Hulu and Netflix who are giving you all 20 episodes right up front, and you can watch them whenever you want, and right. they're making billions off of it.
Right, but, well, yeah, but also, you know, the networks don't yet count DVR watches in their ratings. So, like, my point is that if you were to, and I'm going back again to timing, so if you're busy at Christmas time, you're not watching the show, you're going to DVR it. Well, they need you to watch the show because that's how they're going to get advertising
dollars. But
if you're
DVRing it, that means you're on the channel, right?
Yeah, but they don't count it in ratings. They still have yet to count. And the issue is DVRs, and they don't count online streaming, which is another issue.
Hmm.
But they should because you know how many people probably
It's a view.
But you know, I watch The Walking Dead online. I watch it through my Dish account on there because they have all the episodes.
Yeah.
I can watch, but they aren't, apparently don't count that in ratings. So that's a show that has 15.9 million
viewers. Yeah, but
are
they even able to, though? That's How would they be able to do it?
I don't think they care. Oh, they could.
How can
I think
they track?
Because Dish, no. I mean, all those sites, like, they couldn't track illegal, but they could track everybody that watched it through Charter Online or Dish Online. They know. Dish knows exactly how many people watched that. Just like I know exactly how many people
listen to
our podcast.
Would be no big deal
to
pay them to get the ratings from them.
Right, exactly. But either way. Yeah, I agree with you. It's annoying. I like the Netflix model. 16 episodes in one shot. I like it too.
Hell yeah.
It's never going to change.
Until Amazon does that too.
Until we go 100% streaming online, it's not going
to
change.
I'm pushing farther now because they still haven't done what I wanted to. We keep talking about a la carte. Not only do I want a la carte, I want to be able to pick my team. I want to be able to I want to buy $10 a month and just get Yankees games.
That'd be awesome.
I don't care about any other team, just be able to watch a Yankees game.
Yeah, that'd be
That's
awesome.
Been my beef for a long time now. Why should I have to pay for 140 channels if I only watch three of them?
Yeah, I watch like four channels.
Because the cable companies are dickheads.
No, it's a monopoly.
Well, that's what I mean.
They got the monopoly.
They continue to try to push against legislation that would allow other people to come in and
well,
so you have services like the new the Aereo service, which the cable companies just went to court over that.
Yeah,
because Aereo found out a way and that what they do is you buy their service, you have a little antenna, they put that antenna in a warehouse. Every single subscriber has an antenna. The cable companies say, well, you can't do that because you know you're not allowed to take that out of the air and give it to them. But their thing is, we're not doing that because we're just hosting the antenna for them. And so rather than put the antenna in their home, you know how like you had the digital antenna?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Aereo does, but it's like you get a ton more. You get all the regular channels and it's really cheap. But the cable companies are fighting them because it's
legal.
Right. And
and it's not making them money?
Exactly. They're not. Exactly.
So. It's ridiculous.
And cable keeps going up, up, up. So
yeah, mine just went up. If it goes up again, I'm gonna either call and cancel it because I don't watch it. I'm on my Roku all the time anyway. The only time I ever watch TV is for sports.
Yeah.
And then it's stupid because you know I subscribe to NHL Network, but I can't watch the Rangers. I can't watch the Bruins.
Yeah.
I can't watch anything local because they block it out because it's on TV.
It's pointless. Yeah.
Hmm.
So I have to have cable to watch those games.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid. I've been saying it all along. You like Military Channel? All right. Military Channel, $7.95 a month.
Right.
You like History Channel? That's $4 a month.
Right.
You know, you want to watch AMC or Turner Movie Classics?
Right.
That's $2.50 a month. That's a la carte right there. That's,
hell yeah.
That's the way it should be.
I know. And if one channel doesn't get enough subscribers...
And you know, if you get five...
Goodbye.
That's
the way the market works.
You pay for...
If someone doesn't buy your product, it fails, it goes away. That's the way it is.
You buy five premium channels, or rent five premium channels a month, you get all the locals. They throw in all the local channels.
The locals are free anyway.
Yeah, locals are
not
free
anymore,
anyway.
Because you can't
they
just
are,
grab
though.
Them.
Yeah, you can. With a digital antenna, you can grab locals.
Yeah, I would get...
With the yeah.
Yeah. With the antenna, I'd get all the... With the antenna, I got 18 channels, and like six of them were local.
Yeah.
And not
but
only that,
all
most
the
of
cable the... company does is grab that little signal for you and send it to you.
Yeah,
like
digitally.
Digitally, right. It's ridiculous.
But most of the local channels now, WFSB, they have an online channel for free right on their website.
Yeah,
go to the website, you can watch it live.
Because it's free.
Yeah. So.
All they make all their money in advertising. That's how channels make money, in advertising. They don't make money any other way. We don't pay channels for content. We pay cable providers. So Channel 3, all their money comes from advertisers.
Oh, yeah.
That's how networks make money. Anyway, do you have any news?
Wow, that was recently seen, too.
I know.
Yeah, I got a few things.
All right.
So wherever you want to start.
I'll go. I only have one thing, so I'm just going to quickly touch on... I talked a little bit about VHS Viral, I think, last episode, maybe? Came out with a trailer and a synopsis. So VHS Viral includes a story of a deranged illusionist who obtains a magical object of great power, a homemade machine that opens a door to a parallel world, teenage skaters that unwillingly become targets of a Mexican death cult ritual, and a sinister, shadowy organization that is tracking a serial killer. Segments are tied together by the story of a group of fame-obsessed teens following a violent car chase in Los Angeles that unwittingly become stars of the next internet sensation. I'm not excited about this one.
It just sounds weird.
It does, right? It doesn't sound...
It sounds like it's going to be a trauma movie. It
sounds like there's like three different movies wrapped into one.
Well, it is. It's an anthology, so it's four stories wrapped inside of one main story.
And Hellraiser's one of them.
What? Maybe, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe. The homemade machine that opens the door. Or a magical object of great power, either one. Well, like, the whole thing with, like, they're doing one with a Mexican death cult. And VHS 2 did a cult one. They did one about a cult. And it was good. Really good. So, like, yeah. I'm like, you probably shouldn't do another cult one because you did a cult one, and it's not going to be as good as that cult one. Because that one was good. And
Jack, I like the first one was probably my favorite. I really liked the first one. The second one.
Did you watch the second movie or not?
Yeah.
You did watch it, yeah.
Yeah, because it's got the cult at the end.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's got the cult and it's got the alien one. And it's got the
Which
dude.
Was okay.
I really liked that one, actually. It got the dude with the camera in his eye that it was
I didn't like that one.
And then the zombie one. So like,
and I didn't like the zombie
one.
Yeah,
I thought they got better. I thought the last two were pretty good.
Because that was just like a bicycle cam and
weird. I thought the last two were pretty good and the first two were okay at best.
I like the wraparound story on the first one better than the second one.
It was a lot better. Yeah. Although, I mean, I didn't mind the second one. I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, I watched the trailer, and the trailer didn't get me too excited either. It feels like now it's at a point where, okay, so now they got to have one every year. It's the same thing they did with, like, the Saw series. Saw came out. It was big. People really liked it. It was pretty big in the horror community. Saw 2 came out. Then at that point, it's like, we need Saw 3 the following year, Saw 4 the following year. Paranormal Activity is the same thing. Like, oh, Paranormal Activity hit, now we need one a year later. A year later, another one. A year later, another one. And it gets to a point where, like, are you just forcing it out at this point? You know, it doesn't even have the original guys included anymore. At this point, the two guys that were included in the first two have stepped away. They aren't even part of it. So now you have someone else that's picking it up, taking it.
You never know. It might better it.
It might better it, but from what I've seen and read, I just, for whatever reason, man, I'm not feeling. I could be wrong, but I feel like when you get to that point where you're creating a franchise intentionally, that's when you start to run into problems because you're gonna always be like, we need to get this out in June because these always came out in June.
Yeah, it gets rushed.
Right, like we need it out in June. We need it out in June. We need it out in June. We need it at Cannes. We need it at Sundance. Whatever it is. So, a little bit not excited. I was really excited about VHS too when that got announced. So. This one, not so much. I'm going to watch it, of course, but...
Yeah, definitely check it out.
It's just weird. I don't know. That's all I got, though.
Drive-In Super Monsterama 2014 lineup. It's actually all Mario Bava.
That's so crazy.
The entire weekend is a tribute to him. Friday night with screenings of four of his films, Planet of the Vampires, Dr. Goldfoot, The Girl Bombs, Kill Baby Kill, and The House of Exorcism. Mm-hmm. That's Friday night. That's a pretty good lineup, actually.
Two of those movies we reviewed.
Yep.
Connor really loves Mario Bava.
Well, I put Kill Baby Kill on there.
You did?
Yeah, he put Planet of Vampires.
Oh, well, he really loves Mario Bava, though. He's been watching, like, all of his stuff. Or he was, anyway.
Saturday's lineup includes Taste the Blood of Dracula, Dracula AD 1972, Trog, and The House That Screamed.
Yeah.
Which is actually really good, too. An entire weekend.
That's awesome.
$10 a night, and they're all on vintage style 35mm prints.
$10 to camp, too, right?
Yep.
And
$10 per person
breakfast.
Per night. Children are free, and it just says overnight camping is available.
But yeah, it's $10, and they serve you breakfast.
Yeah, there's no price on that, so, but yeah.
I think so. It's a drive-in breakfast,
fucking
so.
Frozen.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, though. Someday, man, I'm going to get to one of those shows.
Yeah.
Either that one or the other one that's in New York. I've been wanting to go to, like, an all-night drive-in show forever.
Yeah, me too.
It's like one of those things that I've been to, like, 12-hour theater marathons and all that, but I've never been to a drive-in.
Just sleep in your car. So, just sleep in your car when you do it.
Well, yeah, you could. I mean, it runs from, like, 8 p.m. to, like, 5 a.m. anyway. So, like, you could camp, but you're probably up anyway. I mean, well, you're going to sleep in your car, but I can't see really, like, setting up tents and shit. I would just...
Hell no.
You know?
I would just stay there.
That's a pretty awesome lineup, though.
It says, old school trailers, shorts will be during intermission. All those classics will be playing throughout the marathon. So, you feel like you're 1960 again.
Or 70.
Yeah.
Or 50.
Yeah.
I think drive-ins really hit in the 50s, right, with the giant monster movies.
Yeah.
So, and then 70s, they would have been the exploitation stuff.
Yeah, and that's in Pennsylvania, 70s too.
Was more inside movies.
It was, yeah. You had the drive-in movie, like they said, we're talking about Blood Shack later. That played drive-ins. That was early 70s, so... I mean, you definitely had drive-ins in the 70s, but you're right. A lot of it was going inside. And then we had multiplexes by the late 80s, so at that point, everything was inside.
So there was all this, like, speculation stuff with the Maniac Cop remake.
Yeah.
It says, writer Ed Brubaker refuses to remain silent... refuses to remain silent about his Maniac Cop remake.
He's taking a stand, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Maniac Cop need a remake? Well, you could have continued it if you wanted to.
They have three of them. Yeah.
But well, I don't think it needs to be remade.
To be fair, I would have said the same thing about Maniac, and they remade Maniac. Same director. Original director, I mean. Lustig. And the Maniac remake was actually really good. So you never know. Could be good. Maniac Cop's a fun movie, so.
Oh, it's real fun. Yeah, I love the first one.
Yeah, I don't know if,
I love the first one. I'm pretty okay with the second one.
Yeah. The third one I remember being pretty shitty.
It's been a while since I've seen that, so I don't want to say it either way.
I remember it being shitty. I think there's like a thing with like a bachelor party and strippers and stuff, and
yeah,
I don't know,
something weird. Yeah,
pretty sure. Sounds more exciting than it is.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Kevin Smith's Krampus movie that's coming out, and actually it's weird because at the exact same time, Michael Daughtry from Trick or Treat is also doing a Krampus movie,
and there's another guy too that's releasing a Krampus movie. And he's already releasing that in festivals. So there's going to be three Krampus movies.
So weird that they come out like that.
I know. Why does that happen? It's like the storage facility movies.
Yeah.
Like, everybody gets the same idea at the same time and makes the movie. It's weird.
I think, as far as I know, I think Kevin Smith is going to be more based on horror, where this one is a Christmas horror comedy.
Yeah.
On the ancient legend about a pagan demon known as Anti-Claus.
Yeah, I mean, his mate honestly play better than Kevin Smith, because it's going to be difficult to make a serious horror film about Krampus. Like, to ever make a serious horror film about, like the Killer Santa Claus movies, the only ones that really work are the ones that make you laugh, because it's really hard to make, maybe Christmas Evil, but even that makes you laugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, Kevin Smith will probably have humor in it. You know, I can't see him being like, I'm going to make a real scary Krampus movie.
Yeah, me neither.
It would have to go more traditional to do something like that.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of the red suit.
Krampus.
Krampus is a demon.
Yeah.
That punishes children on Christmas Eve if you're naughty.
Right.
So he'll come and cut your head off.
Right. And to me, that's weirdly funny. It's not scary. Because it's so ridiculously over the top.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of this thing coming in on Christmas and chopping a kid's head off actually plays funny.
It
doesn't play scary to me. For whatever reason, that's not... Because it's so unbelievable. You know what I mean? It's so over the top that how could you not laugh at that? It's just how it plays. I don't think you could help it. Like, if you were watching that, no matter how scary they shot it, the minute that kid's head rolls off the bed, you're going to laugh.
Oh yeah,
you just don't want to watch that. You don't want to be watching that movie around Christmas time. That's the only.
Maybe not, but I mean, I still think I'd be shocked if you don't laugh. If they show that a kid's head rolling off the bed, you're gonna laugh because of the way it's gonna happen. This kid's tucked up in bed, waiting Christmas Eve. He's gonna wake up in the morning, his presents. Krampus is gonna come in and chop his head off. There's something really ironically funny about that.
Yeah, there kind of is actually.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, but it is. it's really difficult for me to see that as being scary, but I could see it being really funny. Darkly funny, obviously. Not like, it's not Porky's funny.
Politically incorrect funny?
Yeah, it's like black comedy. Yeah. It's not, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if there's three of them, we'll have to see how they all play out.
I know, right? See.
Let's see. Because I'm sure, like Kevin Smith, I guess it's the anti-Jesus movie he was going to do or whatever it was, the giant Jesus movie.
Yeah, Hell in a Handbag?
Yeah, something like that. That's all green screen.
I know.
So that'd I wonder awesome if the Krampus too, one's going to be all green screen too.
That would be an awesome movie still. If he ever makes that one with the giant Jesus.
Just a giant Jesus stepping on people.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. So awesome. And you know what's so great about him doing like Dogma and all these like anti-Christian movies?
Yeah.
Is that he was raised a Catholic, went to Catholic school.
Yeah, I know.
And all of that.
I know. He was raised pure Catholic.
Yeah. So he knows the in and outs of, like, everything. Like,
I mean,
he quotes the Bible constantly.
Yeah,
like, he knows everything.
He really does. He's not just, like, some guy making fun of religion. He knows it.
He knows it.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
So he calls it out.
You know? Yeah. But it also says, meanwhile, Deadline reports that Daughtry is still working on a sequel to Trick or Treat, also at Legendary.
Yeah, that's apparently still in development. So
that,
fingers crossed.
I hope it's good, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I'm really psyched for that to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Hopefully in theaters.
Hopefully. If that's in theaters, we'll definitely be there that night.
Yeah.
But that's all I got, so.
All right, I got a few releases to run through here. A few announcement releases and then just a couple for the next couple weeks. Deathbed, The Bed That Eats. That's getting a release. Yes. Cult Epics is bringing George Barry's 70s horror film to Blu-ray. Isn't that crazy that movie's going to be out? Deathbed, The Bed That Eats is going to be on Blu-ray. On June 3rd, at the edge of a grand estate near a crumbling old mansion lies a strange stone building with just a single room. In the room lies a bed, born of demonic power. The bed seeks the flesh, blood, and life essence of unwary travelers. Three pretty girls on vacation searching for a place to spend the night. Instead, they stumble into nightmares and the cruel, insatiable hunger of the bed. Comes from a new HD transfer. Introduction by Stephen Thrower and George Barry, as well as a commentary. Conversation between those two about horror films of the 70s and 80s, some behind the scenes, and a credit track.
I've never even heard of that.
The Bed That Eats?
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that, like, floated around on VHS forever. And I don't know if there was ever a DVD release of it, but if you would go to conventions, you could get bootlegs of the VHS and stuff.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cannibal Holocaust, coming to Blu-ray.
There you go, Jeff.
I already pre-ordered mine.
Get on there, pre-order it. Blu-ray.
Coming soon is Grindhouse Releasing's 3-disc deluxe Blu-ray edition, which streaks July 1st. The set includes 2 Blu-ray discs loaded with special features, a newly remastered soundtrack CD of the original score.
That's what I want.
All right, specs are as follows. New high-def digital restoration of the uncensored cut, spectacular digital stereo remix and original mono mix, commentary tracks with director Ruggero Deodato and star Robert Kerman, stars Carl York and Francesca Ciardi. New in-depth interviews with Ruggero Deodato, blah, 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 and other people. Liner notes by director Eli Roth, and I don't give a shit about that. Extensive still galleries and theatrical trailers. Amazing new remaster of the original Cannibal Holocaust score by Grammy winner and Academy Award nominee Riz Ortolani. So, I pre-ordered it, man. Like, I had to have it.
You still got to watch the digital copy, Mike.
Had to have it. I had to.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get that.
Hey, you wanna take my kids for tonight? Yeah. So I can watch that freaking movie.
They can watch with me on Blu-ray.
Wait until and the soundtrack is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I love that soundtrack. You could just sit
crazy.
You're cleaning your house, just put it on.
Yeah.
Just listen to it. It's fantastic.
Really,
how about the soundtrack from Maximum Overdrive?
AC/DC.
Hell yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Did you ever watch the?
Did that one for my recently seen because we were just watching that. Wow. Me and my daughter.
It's on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah, when my son was there too. When that lady got, or when the kid got squished by the thing,
right,
by the steamroller, yeah. He freaked out.
The original, there's missing footage from that scene where they actually see the kid's head explode. And they cut it out. Stephen King directed that movie, and I mean, it just got killed. Like reviews, people, and he said he would never direct again, which he hasn't. But Angry Video Game Nerd did a review of it, and his review is really funny because he reviews it, and at the end he always gives it like a rating, and he's like, if I remember it right, he basically is like, I give it you know, I basically give it zero or whatever. He's like, but then I give it 5 stars, one for each member of ACTC. So, just for the score alone. Yeah, the soundtrack to that is pretty awesome. It's ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, CBS Home Entertainment and Paramount Media Home Distribution will issue Twin Peaks, the entire mystery, on a 10-disc Blu-ray set July 29th. That's fucking insane.
Twin Peaks?
Yeah, the show. Did you ever see it?
Is that like an Area 51
kind of thing? No, so I'll give you the base. I might have the plot here. Hang on. No, I don't. Basically, Twin Peaks is about this girl named, I can't remember her name now, Laura Palmer, and she's murdered. Her and her friend are murdered, and an FBI agent comes in to try to solve the murder, and it gets weirder and weirder and weirder, and there's a lot of really weird shit going on. It's David Lynch, and when you get the reveal of the killer, it's like the whole thing is just one of the most fucked up things that you could imagine. Like, when you're watching it, you're like, they're not going to go there. You're like, they're not going to go there. They're not going to. And then they did. And you're like, holy shit, like, they went there. On cable TV. This is on, like, CBS. And when you find out who killed her and the circumstances under which she dies, it's pretty crazy.
Wasn't that, like, a late 80s, early 90s kind of show?
Early 90s, yeah. Early 90s? I want to say, like, not, I don't know. I don't have the year. 91, maybe. But it's on Netflix. It was on Netflix. And at least it's worth watching up until the reveal. They did it weird.
Because the FBI agent, didn't he play in Roswell or something like that?
I don't know. It's Kyle MacLachlan. I don't know what else he was in. Well, I know what else he was in. I don't know if he was in Roswell. He was in like Blue Velvet and The Hidden and some other stuff. But it's worth watching up through the season 2 reveal. Mm-hmm. Once you get after that, they cut tapers off. It only went 2 seasons. But when you find out who did it, oh my god, it's awesome.
I'm always looking for a new TV series.
Twin Peaks is good. It's really weird, and there's a lot of points where you're going to be like, what? Like, there's these weird dream sequences with, like, a midget dancing around and, like, really just bizarre shit. But there is a story there that plays, and it's really disturbing. Blue Underground has announced that it will issue a Blu-ray pairing of Hell of the Living Dead and Rats, Night of Terror, on August 26th on Blu-ray. Hell, a.k.a. Night of the Zombies, follows a SWAT team to New Guinea to confront an outbreak of flesh-munching undead. A female reporter who goes topless to communicate with a native tribe, and lots of stock footage. Rats is set in the year 225 AB, after the bomb, when a gang of scavengers must battle for their lives against mutated, super-smart rodents. Both films presented in new high-def transfers from original uncut, uncensored negatives in 1080p. With some interviews, trailers, stuff like that. I think I'm going to get that. It's going to be awful. It's going to be, like, those movies are bad. But for some reason, I want them really bad.
And they're going to look worse on Blu-ray.
No, they're going to look great. Like, that's the thing. Blue Underground is going to give these things a treatment that they don't deserve. And that's kind of why I want it. Because they do.
Yeah,
that's
pretty ironic.
They do really good by their Blu-rays. Blue Underground.
No, they do a great job. I'm just saying the effects and crap in the movie.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's going to look so bad.
You're going to see all the
effects
fucking
really bad. You're going to see all the seams and everything. Yeah. It's going to look bad. It's going to be awesome. May 19th, we've got Rob Zombie's Zombie Horror Picture Show, which we already talked about. Looks shitty. May 20th, we have Nosferatu, the Vampire, the 1979 version. That's Scream Factory.
With the industrial music?
Yeah, I believe so. Werner Herzog or whatever, I think. Tourist Trap, Evil Dead, the original, Gang War in Milan, and Grand Piano, and Walmart has, it's a weird one, has a bunch of stuff coming. You know how they did the Steelbooks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now they have more exclusives coming out.
Blu-ray.
And they all, a new set of Blu-rays, all with exclusive cover art, brand new cover art, and they're all, you know, they're all similar, but some of the titles they've got are Delta Force.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Terminator, RoboCop, a bunch of others, and they're coming out, and they're going to have a big sale on those.
Oh, shit.
They're coming out on the 20th.
They
have like 20 titles. No, these are new. Ooh. These are all new ones, new art, and they actually look pretty good. It's Walmart, but
you got them all too, didn't you?
Oh, I got a few, yeah.
Yeah,
I
didn't pick any of them.
Like, they had the Incredible, I ain't buying the Incredible Hulk, piece of crap. I ain't spending $5 on that.
That's a thing, right? Yeah. So, the same thing with these ones. There's a bunch in there that are, you're not going to, it's a mad world. That's one of them.
That I want, but that's, I'd rather have the Criterion collection.
Yeah,
than
I
that.
Know, but if you can't afford the Criterion, you can get the Walmart version. I mean, RoboCop's on Criterion too, but it's.
I got that from Walmart and Blu-ray for like $8.
RoboCop.
Yeah,
I got the trilogy.
It's like $7.50.
I got the trilogy on sale on Amazon for $19.99. So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
May 27th, we got Sleepaway Camp. Death Spa and Cheap Thrills. That's it.
That's it? Mm-hmm. All right. Take a quick break and come right back.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Midnight Triple Feature. Please head over to midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Check out reviews, past shows, or link up to social media where we can keep in touch. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show.
All right, we are back, and now it's time for our review portion. The first movie we're going to discuss today is a movie called The Chooper, also known as Blood Shack. So let's run the trailer.
There is a legend about this valley, a tale carried across the winds of time, a legend strange and sinister, the legend of the Chooper.
What kind of ghost would haunt a place like this? It's a dump.
It's an old Indian ghost. It's going to come out at night and it's going to get them.
Kills people?
I heard about your ghost and how it kills people. Well, I ain't a chicken, not like my friends. I dare it. Get me.
You know the only history that place has got is about 150 years history of death in it. You know that.
Chooper legend?
I'm the local constable. I just on my way up to see you. Well, I'm checking most of the ranches around. I'm looking for a couple of kids. Local kids. They turned up missing, and, well, nobody can find them.
It's all the same to you, Miss Brown. I'd like to check out that old house.
A lot of strange stories connected to that old place.
Stay away, you hear me? Stay away! The Chooper will get you!
Alright, so that was the trailer for The Chooper. I'm going to give you a quick plot synopsis. Failing B-movie actress Carol inherits her dead uncle's ranch. On the property lies an old house supposedly haunted by the Chooper, a figure cloaked in ninja garb who will murder anyone who decides to stay in the house. The property also comes with an odd caretaker named Daniel and two kids who he regularly has to chase out of the old house. There's also a guy named Tim who really wants to buy the ranch, and there's also a rodeo. Directed by Ray Dennis Steckler. Released in 1971 under the pseudonym Wolfgang Schmidt, which he also used for other films. Ray Dennis Steckler actually has 37 directing credits, including the incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed up zombies.
Yeah.
The Thrill Killers and several sexploitation adult films under several other pseudonyms, including Henry Pierre Duval, Cindy Lou Sutters, and Sven Christian. So he also directed under a woman's name. For several, well, sexploitation adult titles. So, he basically made, he made B-movies, drive-in movies, low budget. This was made for $500, which in today's dollars is $2,835.79.
Wow.
Now, okay, so, but this isn't, here's the thing. Now, we discuss movies, right? So we discussed, say, The Night Before Easter, right? $3,000 budget. And we were like, they did a lot with $3,000. This guy didn't do anything with $2,835.
No.
Right? We're like, wow, he only had that much money? He didn't do anything with it.
He bought lunch.
Yeah, he bought lunch, right. And it's funny, because if you watch the features, he's in one of the interviews, he makes a comment about how he's like, Hollywood would love us today because we made movies for nothing. And I'm like, thinking to myself, yeah, you know, Hollywood wants you to make movies for nothing, but they have to be good.
Yeah, well, at one point he says, if they gave us $30,000, we could give them a movie or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's
some weird comment.
But you have to know how to make a movie.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy knows how to make a movie. He couldn't even make a feature-length movie. He was forced to put shit in to make it 70 minutes long.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a 55-minute movie.
Yeah.
Hollywood's not going to be happy if they give him even 30 grand and he comes back with 50 minutes of footage. They're going to be like, what the fuck? We might as well start right off with the song. it's the Chooper song by Ron Haddock, who also is in the movie, plays Tim.
Oh, yeah.
He's multi-talented.
Yep. Awesome song.
Better look out, world, there's a man in all the loose. Women better run and hide. Men prepare to defend yourself from a terror from the other side. Well, here I am. Maybe I'm the Chooper man.
That's worth $2,800 for that audio.
Oh. So that's the Trooper song. It's pretty shitty.
But it's catchy.
Like, it's catchy. It is a catchy tune, but it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so weird, too. Like, it opens. It's a horror movie. Like, what? That's like a lighthearted, like.
Yeah. That's the kind of song you hear from a guy sitting on a rocking chair on the deck of his house.
Yeah.
Like a porch
playing
becker.
A freaking banjo.
A song about murdering women. Like, if you listen to the lyrics, he's singing about murdering women and how men have to protect themselves from him. But he's like, yeah, I'm the Chupa man. It's like, that's insanity. How does that relate in any way to what you're about to watch? Which, I mean, not to say this movie's scary, but, like, it's so fucking upbeat. It's terrible, it's catchy, but it's bad. It's like, it's the same three lines repeated twice, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, that was where, like, $250 of the $500 went.
That's what he's saying, yeah. So, here's a ridiculous plot point. So, there's this house, right? It's, like, on this ranch, and anybody that goes in this house risks getting murdered by the Trooper. So you'd say to yourself, okay, well, here's this house, and everybody that goes in it dies. No one lives in the house, so why not tear it down?
I think the Trooper man is the caretaker.
Well, they show you who the Trooper man is. Yes. Did you watch the whole movie?
Yeah, they showed it. They unmasked the Trooper man.
Huh?
They unmasked the Trooper man.
They definitely unmasked him.
You know,
I'm going to say it at the end.
I may have dozed off.
Come on.
Speaking of the caretaker, I took this off the TV. There's a still shot from the TV. What man stands like that?
I was going to mention the midriff fucking belly shirt they wear.
Yeah.
He's got his, like, his legs crossed, and he's all like, oh, my God. I was like, who stands like that?
He must have been the start of the half shirt craze.
Well, yeah, it looks like his shirt, like, shrunk in the laundry.
Yeah.
And he just, like, they were like, oh, well, you have to keep wearing it, so we're just going to... That's not how a cow, like, a rancher would dress, right?
That's actually a chick freaking jacket.
It is, yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's dressed like a woman.
Well, the Trooper was probably killing people, and he was just taking all their stuff.
Yeah, he was, though.
Yeah, well,
he took the money
from
that one.
He took the money, yeah.
But did you happen to catch his reasoning as to why the house is still there? He has a love of history.
Because there's 150 years of history there.
Yeah. What the fuck? Like, he has this house. It's decrepit. It's falling apart. Everybody that goes in it dies. And you're like, well, I'm not going to tear it down because I have a real love of history.
Killing them, Trooper Man.
Yeah,
and I'll keep burying them. They'll never find them where I put them.
So that's on to my next point.
The movie was made in 1971. The house was made in 1970.
Yeah. Here's my next point. This is a really good situation if you want to kill somebody. All right, so the Trooper, you assume the Trooper doesn't fucking exist, right? Like, you're not going to ever believe that. But you know Daniel believes it because he's fucking stupid. So you say you want to murder somebody. You're going to bring them out there, murder them, throw their body into the house, right? Daniel's going to come and eliminate all the evidence for you. He's never going to call the police. He's going to bury their body on his property for you, and no one's ever going to find them.
Yeah.
Because whenever anybody comes around, he's going to chase him away yelling about the Trooper.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? You're like, oh, you know, I really...
Yeah, I warned you.
Yeah, but, like, oh, man, I really can't stand, you know, I hate my boss. Hate him. And you're like, well, maybe I... How am I going to do... Oh, I know, I can dump his body in that house because that retard Daniel is going to bury him on his property and start yelling about the Trooper. Like, it's the best thing.
It's the best alibi.
Right.
Yeah. So, and he'll dispose of the body for you.
That's what I'm saying. He gets rid of the evidence for you. You don't have to do anything except just... Well, you have to kill them. But, I mean, you know.
Bring him in there, kill him.
And, so, like, this one chick comes by, and, like, here's another thing Daniel's really bad at.
Acting?
Well, yes, he's really bad at acting. But he's also really bad at getting people to leave his property.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Especially Tim.
All of them. Tim, the kids, this girl. Like, so the girl comes in and she's like, I'm sleeping in this house. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, yes, I am. And he's like, all right. And just walks. Like,
yeah, fine.
Stay in that house then. And when I find you dead, I'm going to bury your body, not call the police and steal your money. I'm going to commit a felony. Oh my God. It's so fucking stupid. Makes no sense.
Yeah. When she came there, right? So she's going there just to prove,
whatever.
I don't even know what. There's later the guy says they were having a fight and she was
running away.
Why did
she get into her bra and panties?
Because they wanted something titillating.
Yeah,
titillating.
But they weren't willing to go far enough to actually go nude.
I was hoping.
But I'm just saying, if
$500 wasn't going to get it, I guess.
Yeah.
You go to an abandoned house, you know, prove to your friends, I'm going to spend the night.
Yeah,
I'm not going to bring
my
pajamas.
You sleep
on it. I'm not getting my Stewie boxers to go to sleep.
Yeah, did you see that mattress?
It was
a big
nasty.
Ass stain on it.
It was like covered in blood.
Yeah,
like, that's the other
like,
thing is if you walk
I thought
in.
It was a piss stain.
If I walk in and see like a brown stain, it's either blood or shit. So either way, I'm not taking my clothes off and laying down.
She was getting comfortable on that mattress.
She was getting really comfortable. And I mean, she gets killed by, well, you're supposed to think it's the Chooper. I mean, is there any point where you think it's the Chooper?
No.
At this point, I do think it's Daniel, by the way. So I do. I'm like, oh, it's Daniel, obviously. It's not Daniel. They definitely unmask him. There's no doubt about that.
I will rewrite.
Well, when you get there, yeah, we'll talk about the end.
Another thing, don't put your kids in movies. Don't. Because
yeah.
Don't do it. Because they're no one cares about your kids. They can't act. And then, like, that's another thing in the features. He talks about that scene with them in the stupid chair. And now they play musical chairs.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was just great. They ad-libbed it. It was so, like, he's talking about, like, it's brilliant. Like, oh, I sent them out there with no lines and just told them to figure out what to do with the chair. And he's like, and they did that all by themselves. I'm like,
You want
to
know what I wrote about the kids? Where the fuck are these kids' parents?
I know, they just hang around Daniel all day.
All day.
And all he does is tell them they're going to get murdered.
They run, like, miles through
right.
the desert to get wherever they're, like, no one's watching
these kids. I thought they were Daniel's kids.
Yeah.
At first.
He treats them like shit if they're his kids.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you were those kids, would you want to hang out with a dude that's constantly telling you you're going to get murdered and buried in the ranch?
And not only that, if you're going to tell a kid, hey, stay out of the house, do it to scare them. Don't say it like a dickhead.
I know.
Because then they're going to want to go in there. Yeah. He doesn't. Right. Yeah. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but Daniel is an idiot.
Daniel's an idiot. The kids suck. But, like, the fact that Steckler was talking about this scene is like, oh, I left it in. You left it. You didn't leave it in because it's brilliant. You left it in because you had a 50-minute fucking movie, and you had nothing else. He intercuts those shower scenes, right? You know those random shower scenes of her taking a shower?
Yeah.
Those are from another movie. It's stock footage that he shot for another movie, and he said that footage was just too good. I had to... No, it's not. How is it good? It's like shoulder-up footage of her in a shower. Why is
yeah,
that?
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, it's because he pulled it from another movie that he shot.
And it looks different, too.
Because it's for a different movie. He never used it. And he's like, that footage was too good to leave behind, so I had to put it somewhere. So he randomly cuts it into this movie. It's
awesome.
Stupid. Like, if it had nudity, I guess I could understand it. Because he'd be like, well, I'm going to sell the sex. But he doesn't have any nudity, so it's just her, like, head in a shower.
Yeah, it's just like her washing her hair. It's weird.
Right. All right, let's talk about the rodeo. The rodeo is the ultimate filler. Like, I've never seen anything quite like it. So the movie came back at 55 minutes, right?
Yeah, it was about, 54 and a half.
And no one wants to release a 55-minute movie because it's not technically feature length. So they told him, you need to put something in to make the movie longer. So he's like, what can I do to make this movie 70 minutes long? Shoots 15 minutes of them at the rodeo. So they go to the rodeo twice.
Yeah. Technically, from what I could see, part of it wasn't even at the rodeo.
I don't know.
He just had a random pony, and the girl put the kids on it and just walked them around.
Yeah, with, what was the pony, Pickles or something?
Yeah. For like 5 minutes, she's
Pickles
walking them on a fucking pony.
Yeah.
They're not even at the rodeo.
No, you're right. Well, that whole thing, too, was like they got a pony because they went to the rodeo, so like their dad bought them a pony. And then the other thing that's really annoying is the voiceovers.
Yes.
Like, oh my god, I've seen it in movies from that time before where you have somebody that's explaining to you the whole time what's going on.
Did you hear what she says as she's narrating in the beginning?
What?
She says that she is going there to the ranch because she inherited it.
Yeah.
Because she was having trouble in the horror movie industry. Now I see why.
Yeah, and then they get into the ranch house there, and all those posters are up because Daniel's infatuated with her.
Well,
yeah.
No, that was...
That was the incredibly...
The guy that gave her the ranch, her uncle, was... This is, like, the weirdest thing. So, like, this guy owns a ranch, yet apparently he was very successful in film. So, like, she has this whole thing where she's like, yeah, my uncle was really successful in horror movies. Apparently successful enough to buy, like, 10,000 miles of ranch. But what I found interesting about this is that those were all posters for the director's movies. So, Steckler, that was shit he directed. The Incredibly Strange Creatures, that was a poster from that.
Yeah, did you notice the beginning of The Trooper? When it zooms out from the eye,
yeah.
That's the same fucking poster. That's from the other movie.
I didn't notice that, but I like that because like you ever watch like the Corman shit and the Troma shit,
yeah.
They do that. Like they'll put their posters for their other movies in scenes.
Yeah,
like in Chopping Mall, there's a scene in a restaurant where there's a bunch of movies for posters for Corman movies on the wall. And, like, Lloyd Kaufman does it in, like, Toxic Avengers is seen in a video store, and it's Troma posters everywhere.
Yeah, and a lot, and then they'll be, like, in a video store, and the entire video store shelves are just their movies.
This is one of the earliest times I've seen it, though. I don't know if I've seen anything before this yet that did that. Yeah. Where the director put posters to his own shit in his movie to try to sell it.
Yeah. Mm. Huh.
Yeah, and he makes a comment in the features, too, about how, like, no one wanted his movies. Did you hear the story about the bus?
No, I don't think
where he took
that.
The film canisters and prove a point. And he's like, no one wants my movies. And he took the film canisters, like the finished film, and put it on a bus and left it there and let the bus do its whole route and came back. And they were still there.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that. Nobody stole them. I did hear that part. And he had them labeled, too.
I mean, it's funny because this guy has this belief that he, like today, would be really successful. But I don't believe that's the case. I believe he would have always been more successful in the 60s and the 70s. Because he made drive-in movies.
Yeah.
And he actually would get more swallowed up today than he would have back then. It's easier to make a movie today than it was then. Because if you don't have a camera, now anybody can get a camera. It was hard to get a camera back then. It wasn't like you could just go down to Best Buy and buy a camera for $300.
Yeah, but now it's all about space.
Right.
On drives. Where back then, what you shot, you most likely kept because you didn't want to waste the film. Because every time you had to put new film in, it costed money.
So anyway, there's the character of Tim who really wants to buy this ranch. Like, really fucking wants to buy it. And apparently
he's got a hard-on for this place.
He does, yeah, but he wants...
There's no real reason.
He wants the water. Daniel tells her that there's water under the property, and the reason that he wants the ranch is because he wants access to the water to irrigate. So she has a large reservoir of natural water. That's what they say is the reason. So then she calls him out on it, and that's when Tim and Daniel get into a big fight.
Yeah, but she is trying so hard to get this guy to fuck her.
Yeah.
And all she wants is the ranch.
I know. She really would sleep with him, yeah.
Yeah. Because, well, she says it at one point.
Yeah.
And you know really what? Attractive. I'm surprised she didn't sell the ranch. Like, why does she want to be there? It's like 10,000 miles of dirt. And she's got to hang around Daniel in his midriff belly shirts all day long.
Yeah.
And two little kids that just drag her to the rodeo every day.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd be like, how much... You know, are you willing to pay? Take the cash and run.
So I can get back to Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Or go buy, like, a house in a normal place.
Because she says, she goes, yeah, he keeps coming around, but not for the reasons I wished.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, what the fuck?
It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Some of the lines in here were just so bad.
Well, they said they didn't have to use a script, so they ad-libbed almost everything. There was no script.
Even the narration?
Apparently, from what I got, like, from the features that I saw, they were saying that there was... little to no script. So they just kind of, like, had people just kind of, like... They probably, like, gave them a general thing, and they just kind of talked, yeah. Which could explain some of the stuff that is really weird in this movie, but... So you have that really awkward scene between Daniel and Tim where they get into a fight in front of the kids. You remember that? Where they beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they're just kind of scuffling on the ground.
Yeah, it's really weird. Stupid. And we do find out that Tim's the killer, by the way. Yes, it's Tim. And I said that if you couldn't have figured that out by the end, because I definitely figured it out by the end.
But they did leave it open, though.
Yeah, but come on. It's just because Daniel's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Daniel's like, I'll tell you, though, the other ones, it was the Trooper. He was just pretending to be the Trooper. It's clearly the same guy.
And then he just...
It's
dies.
A skinny guy in a ninja suit. It's the same guy.
With like a plastic toy sword.
Yes. Yeah. I guess the best thing about the movie for me would be the theme song. The artwork, because the funny thing about the artwork is the artwork promises like a movie that's not what you get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, it does.
It shows like this like deformed guy with like a giant machete, and instead you get a guy that's like 100 pounds, 6 feet tall, in a black skin-tight suit with, like you said, with a plastic sword. And you don't get anything that they promised in the artwork in the beginning or the end. I don't know if I could get through this again. I don't know if I could watch this again. This isn't one. It's bad, man. I don't know.
I could probably do it again.
No, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, didn't probably you say you fell asleep? It's like, I could easily watch it again. It, you know, helps me sleep. Part. It's like a sedative.
I just got home from work. I turned it on, you know.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
I was chilling out, you know. I liked it. I mean, I liked it. I will watch it again. Probably hate it.
The next time Jeff's is like,
I didn't hate it. That's the funny thing. I didn't hate it. I thought it was incredibly stupid.
Yeah, it's fucking dumb.
You know what I mean?
So the next time Jeff's like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm going to go take a nap. You're going to watch a Chooper, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have much more to say about the Chooper.
There's not much more to say
about
it.
It's a lean movie. There's a lot of filler, a lot of bad acting.
You know what, though? Put yourself in 1971.
Okay.
And watch that movie. Would you still think that? I mean, look at Rambo, for instance. You watch Rambo or any other movie that was made back then.
Yeah.
And you rewatch them now, and you look at them, and you go, I can't fucking believe I watched that movie back then.
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Rambo and the Chooper are not on the same level.
I'm not trying to put them in the same level. I'm trying to say,
no.
Like, watch Rambo back when it first came out, and you're, like, so intrigued with it. And then you watch it now, it's like we're in 2014.
No. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, dude.
Right, man. That's 74.
That was 74?
That was 3 years after this. Night of the Living Dead was 68, 3 years before this.
All right.
Psycho was 1960. Yeah. 11 years before this.
What year was last
Frankenstein,
left?
1933. No, this isn't. People watch this movie in a drive-in and they made out. Nobody watched this movie.
Yeah, it's a background movie.
No one was scared.
Like White Noise?
There's absolutely no way anyone was scared of this movie. There's no fucking way.
No, I'm not saying that.
There's no way anybody watches. Like, if anybody said it was good, it was because they didn't want to admit that they wasted their money. They were like, yeah, that movie wasn't that bad, and it's because they spent 50 cents to get in. There's no fucking way. No way this was ever good to anybody. He changed his name.
Yeah.
He uses a different name.
He uses a different name because he even knew it was bad.
He knew it was bad. So he called himself Wolfgang Schmidt so that they would know it was him.
Wow.
I get what you're saying.
What's it called? Oh, God.
Alias.
Like when you're in a movie and you're like, I don't want to be on it anymore. And what do they change your name to? What's that called?
Yeah, it's
oh, crap.
Alan Smithy. Yeah.
He Alan Smithed himself.
He did,
yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He Alan Smithied it.
Yep. That's so funny.
I get what you're saying, but this movie, no.
Not
I'm not going with it. There's no way. No way.
You know what the sad part is? I bought this DVD.
I
spent money on it. I only bought it because it had Billy Bob Briggs' name on it. It's the only reason I bought
Joe
it.
Joe Bob Briggs.
Joe Bob Briggs, because he's so funny, man. Right.
He is great. So that was the Chooper. You ready, Mike? Want to do Flesh Eater?
So we got Flesh Eater from 1988. A group of college students on an overnight trip came across a group of meat-eating zombies. They must fight for their lives while trying to escape and warn the authorities. There's the trailer.
What the hell? Well, open the door.
No!
Come on, man. Those things are right behind us.
It's too late. Go find someplace else to hide.
Oh, you bastard!
They're not human. I shot one in the chest. It never fazed them, but I shot two in the head, and I think they're dead.
This isn't any gag, man. You gotta help us. They're coming.
Head west until we meet up with a group coming from the east with Deputy Garrett.
What are we looking for?
Yeah, Sheriff. What are these things?
They're dead things.
Jesus Christ!
Ah!
All right, that was actually the shortened version of it because the other one was like 2.5 minutes long.
And it was a lot of just sounds.
And it was just sounds and zombies, so without a visual, it wasn't that good. But this was actually directed and written by William Hinsman.
Right.
Who was zombie number one,
right,
basically, Night of Living Dead. This is basically a replica, in my opinion,
yeah.
Slightly done a little different, basic storyline. It's very similar to
So Night I have, I do have where he, why he made it. I do have that.
Okay, because I don't have that.
All right, so in the late 80s, he had gone, he had a career in just cinematography, doing like educational videos and stuff after Night of the Living Dead, because he didn't really get a career out of that. So he kind of started his own business, and he was shooting that type of, like, school videos, stuff like that. And he had gone to this convention to go see someone else. He wasn't going there for himself, and this was in the 80s. And people started stopping him and recognizing him, who he was. So it's, you know, he said all of a sudden it clicked in his head. He's like, well, apparently people know who I am because the fans at sci-fi and horror conventions are coming up to me. That means that maybe I can cash in on this. So his idea was, well, let me cash in on that character. So I'm going to take that character and make a movie, a Flesh Eater. And here's the thing that I thought was great. Now, I want to preface this with Night of the Living Dead's in the public domain. So George Romero's never made a penny off it. He can't, because he never, when they released it, they accidentally forgot to put copyright on it. So if you do that and you release it in public, it automatically goes in the public domain. No one can ever own it. So George Romero has never made a cent off Night of the Living Dead. And that movie, we can release Night of the Living Dead if we want to and make money off it. We can screen it and charge tickets. Bill Hinsman took a picture of himself in his zombie makeup and sent it to George Romero and I believe John Russo, who wrote Night of the Living Dead. Basically saying, look what I'm doing, I'm making a movie. And in return, they each sent him a lawsuit, suing him, telling him he couldn't use that character. Now, how much of a dick move? Like, this is where, like, okay, I'm thinking, like, this is a stupid movie. But then, when I heard that George Romero tried to sue him, like, George Romero at this point, you're talking about 1986, 87. So he had already had Dawn of the Dead. He had already had Creepshow. So
he was already a well-established.
He was already
director.
Established. He already had money, and he was already successful. And he's going to sue this guy who's making a $60,000 zombie movie because he's playing a character that kind of looks like a character in a movie that you made that you don't own. And Bill Hinsman is funny. He's like, I don't think they actually owned the character. So he's like, I said, fuck it, and went ahead and did it anyway. And he just kind of ignored it. But yeah, they actually tried to sue him.
You have any info on what happened?
You can't sue them. They don't own the movie.
Okay, so nothing happened then.
No.
Oh, okay.
The whole reason like Night of the Living Dead remake kind of happened, from what I heard, was that was Romero also trying to recapture some form of copyright of that movie. But he's never been able to do it. He's really bitter about that. He's mentioned it. I've heard him mention it in conventions, and that he's never gotten a penny out of it.
That's one of my favorite movies.
It's really good. Yeah.
I love that movie.
I mean, yeah, he should get his money for it, but he made a mistake, and the guy's fine. He's made so many movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some good, some really bad.
Anyway, I wanted to mention that I, once I heard that, I was like, all right, well, I have more respect for this guy now because,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I just thought that was fucked up.
That is fucked up.
You know? I don't know.
So, William Hinsman died February 5th, 2012 from cancer.
Right.
His death occurred the same day as Josephine Striner, who was born in 1918 to 2012,
right,
who also played a ghoul in The Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
They both died on the same day, playing the same movie together.
Would that be Rush Striner's daughter or wife? Rush Striner was also in Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah, I would assume. Same movie, same name. So, no, I mean, this here is typical. Actually, the zombies are basically the same as Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah,
they're somewhat intelligent. Well,
they're strong, though.
I wouldn't even consider them really a zombie.
They are, but it's like I don't know.
It's kind of like a demonic zombie.
Yeah, because they're brought up from, like, satanic rituals, but the thing is that they're, like, he's, at least his character is strong. Because, like, he was able to, like, pick up the pitchfork and, like, stab that one guy, and in Night of the Living Dead, they're just really, like, you can knock them over. They're really, you know, these ones are, like, he changed them up a little bit.
Well, no, because in Night of the Living Dead, he was fast, too. Like, he ran after the car.
Yeah, but he was still, like, not like he was in this. Like, he wasn't fucking, like,
Yeah, not
able
like
to
this,
restrain
yeah.
people and shit. Like,
but none of the other zombies in Night of the Living Dead ran like that or moved like that.
No, they all barely walked.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, basically you got a group of kids wind up in the woods there. Got to party it up all night long.
Right.
And some dude brings them out on a hayride.
Yeah, it's really...
It's Halloween.
It's a really weak setup. Like, the whole time I'm like, oh, they're going on a hayride? And then this dude just dumps them out there. He's like, I'll be back later.
Now, it's funny because when you sent this to me,
mm-hmm.
I had seen this before, but I saw it under a different name.
Yeah, Revenge of the Zombies.
So I'm rewatching it, and you know what it reminded me of? We did a monster, oh god, it was my pick too. We did a monster movie where the farmer dug up the stone.
Yeah,
And the demon came, it was from England.
God, I can't remember the name of it. Yeah, I
just sound dumb, I shouldn't have brought it up.
Right. I know what you're
He's like, alright.
Rawhead Rex.
And it kind of reminded me of that because they dig up the grave,
yeah.
just like they did a stone, and all of a sudden there's this demon running around.
It's kind of weird because like this movie is, it's like there's three parts to it. So like you have the first part, which is like the woods and the little farmhouse. So that's like the Night of the Living Dead part. And you even have like the girl that gets bit that's laying on a table or whatever. And then you have that middle section, which for some reason reminded me of Chud 2. And then you have the last part, which is all Night of the Living Dead again, but like extended out. What I found weird is as I'm watching it, I thought the whole movie was going to take place like in the woods and in the farmhouse, which I probably would have preferred, honestly. But like within 20 minutes, they kill almost every single character.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, right?
And then they move on to the town.
Yeah. Then like it's like, okay, so you have these characters and then they're all dead. There's two that make it. And I found it really weird that you wouldn't have any characters at all that you really root for. Like, it's basically, this whole movie is basically running from zombies. You know, like, these two run, and everybody that these two run to end up getting killed by zombies.
Yeah.
So, like, these people are, like...
They're always on their own.
Yeah, but they're also assholes, because they, like, run up to a group and are like, of course no one's gonna believe you that they're zombies. You know that. So all you're going to do is run up there and be like, there's zombies. You're going to be like, get out of here. And then you're going to run, and all the zombies are going to eat them. And then
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And it just kind of gives you more lead time to get away.
Yeah.
The violence is pretty good. Like, the gore and stuff I thought was
oh,
pretty
sure.
good.
Oh, sure. I mean, you got the farmer right in the beginning.
Yeah.
That gets killed. You got the pitchfork in the barn.
Yeah. Oh,
That was a pretty cool kill.
Did you hear about the heart scene?
I didn't. I saw, but I didn't hear about it.
Did you hear about that? How that went down?
No.
So the special effects, they basically, the plan was to have a gelatin heart. So they make a gelatin heart, and you take it out, and you can eat it because it's made of gelatin. Well, they had an issue with the gelatin, like melted all this other stuff. So the special effects guy went out and they got a pig, and the pig, it was hot. So they had it in the van, and the farmer that they bought the pig from was like, if you don't, you need to. Cut it or whatever, cook it, or it's gonna explode because it's gonna bloat and it's gonna explode. So they brought it in the basement, and I guess it like started to, you know, come apart. So they ended up going down. It took them 2 hours to fish out the heart because they're like, well, we can just use this heart since we don't have our gelatin heart. And they put the heart in, but they never told him. They forgot to tell him that it was a big heart. So when he pulls that heart out and he takes a giant chunk out of it, he's taking a giant bite out of a pig heart that had been sitting at room temperature for like 24 hours.
Salmonella.
He had no idea. He said he like bit into it and ripped it apart. And like he said, he immediately realized that it was a real heart. And like the special effects guy said, like they realized right at that moment when they saw him take a bite, and they just kind of let it go. So when you're watching that on screen, he's eating a real heart.
Have you ever like picked something up like a soda and you always expect it to be something else, and it tastes different when you
yes,
imagine that
yes.
being like a rotting? You like
yeah.
you expect it to be like you're like hell yeah cherry jello,
yeah,
and it's really like a rotting
oh
pig
God.
Heart. Oh,
no,
that's
he's
so
going
disgusting.
In for like, yeah, jello.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's why it looks pretty good, too, because that's real.
No, I didn't hear that. That's pretty fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah, because I got reach and pulls the heart out. They're in the farmhouse, right? Let me ask you this. So they're boarding up all the doors and windows.
Yeah.
Every single movie, who has that much wood just lying around
no.
their house?
And nails and all that shit.
Yeah, it just happens that they have, like, right. an entire lumber yard in their breezeway, I guess.
Like, I remember in Night of the Living Dead... I don't remember if they establish it in the first one, but in the second one, they establish it where they're like, they try to. They're like, oh, we were doing remodels, so we have all the old doors in the basement because we swapped out all the doors. So they had the big doors and they nailed them down. So they, yeah. And, but in the original, like, the, basically he's like, oh, we'll take the doors off the hinges and we'll do that. But yeah, like, to have all these random 2x4s and shit hanging around, yeah, no one really has that. At least most people don't.
No, it's weird.
I mean, I have some wood in my house, but I don't have enough 2x4s to board up every single window and door.
Well, they didn't either. I mean, look at what they did with it. I mean, well, two pieces of wood over a window and
yeah.
Still break through the window. Yeah.
Well, they were also strong zombies. Like, Heinzman just kind of, like, fucking bust through the door like a champ.
Yeah. They, yeah. You know what I mean? Just rips the board right
yeah,
off.
Yeah, that's basically what he does.
Yeah, I wrote down my note is, always wood. Do you have wood?
Yeah.
So I just realized
it is
what I wrote.
Weird, but they always do.
The people, the family in the house, wife, kids, whatever.
Yeah.
Who was the chick in the bedroom?
Okay, I have that explanation.
All right, so let's set it up. There's just some random chick in the shower that we don't know who she is. There's two little kids running around. The mother yells up to her and says, make sure you answer the door till my husband gets home.
Right.
Who the hell is she and why is she taking a shower with somebody else? She's got her own bedroom. She's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just so weird.
They had an issue. So they had a girl for that part and it was supposed to be like the sister originally, and she was supposed to be like 18, 19. She backed out, so they had to get somebody else, and the woman that they got was older. So it was something like they knew that no one was going to believe that it was a sister, so they decided that she was the babysitter or the live-in nanny. Of course, they never tell you that.
No, they don't.
So yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, who the fuck is this? I thought it was a daughter. Yeah, basically, that's what it is. It's and that scene where the father comes home and finds her dead on the bed naked. That's another good scene because they didn't tell the guy that she was going to be butt naked on the bed. It was like his brother or something, and he was like, you know, recently married or about to get married. And he walked in thinking that there was just going to be a girl on the bed, and there she is full frontal butt naked. And he had to just kind of, he said like the look of surprise is real because he had no idea. That they
yeah,
because
then he just like covers her up.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. I think that's what it was. Like his first reaction was to cover her because he's like, fuck.
That's probably the best way to do it though. I know. I mean, if you can get a natural reaction out of somebody on film, it looks a lot better than somebody trying to act. Yeah.
Yeah. The little girl was Heinzman's daughter. That was his daughter.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was his wife as well, the mother.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I should have watched that extra feature.
Yeah, no, there's a lot. Like I said, after I watched the movie, I was like, eh. And then for whatever reason, I watched the features, then the movie grew on me a little bit more because, like, you get all this other stuff, you know? You start to see the production. And I'm not saying it's a good movie, but you at least see what went into it more, and you get a lot more of the background and kind of the shit they had to go through to get it done. You start to appreciate it a little bit more, you know?
All right, yeah. I gotta know.
Yeah.
Does Iron City Beer actually, do they actually have a beer?
They must. They,
yeah. It had the Steelers sign on it.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I mean, it's a shot in Pittsburgh area.
Yeah.
Same place Night of Living Dead was shot.
Yeah. Huh.
I would assume it's a they would have their own local beer, and actually the symbol on it was the Steelers sign.
Yeah.
Like, even the Steelers football team,
what
the
was
same
it called?
Sign.
Iron City Beer?
Iron City Beer. Let's look it up. Iron City Beer. But yeah, I mean, cause they had, and I thought like it was like a sponsor. They might have given money to the production or something. Cause maybe. They had cans. They also were wearing like the hats and
the
stuff.
Yeah, they had the hats too, yeah.
Yes, Pittsburgh Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. Iron City Beer is a classic American lager established in the rich tradition of Pittsburgh, PA. Iron City Brewing. Yep.
Yeah. I was going to say, if they was fake and they went through all the trouble to put the symbols
that
and stuff on
that would have been a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
I say it
also to print up the hats.
Some
and
of the cans, like the cans had like a gold and white. There was gold and white, and then there were red and white.
I don't know.
Did you see that?
Well, sometimes, like, especially like when you get, I know like if you, like my dad drinks Busch, and sometimes you get a 30 pack and like there's like multicolored tops in the box.
Yeah.
So it must be like whatever can they use or whatever. It could just be like a cheaper can, and just the tops don't matter. I don't know. I didn't notice that part of it. So,
how about
Jeff notices the beer.
I know, right?
Well, I mean, I noticed it too, but
what about the titsy dispatcher?
Yeah.
She was pretty.
Oh, by the way,
stupid.
Here's another thing. Did you notice the clock in the police station? By any chance?
So no.
It was military time. It was at 23:40 or something, which is 11:40 at night.
Yeah.
At the same time, the kids are going out to trick or treat.
Yeah. How about the bookcase?
Kids aren't going
fucking
trick-or-treating at midnight.
No.
How about the bookcase in the
I didn't notice that.
I didn't notice that. What's that?
There was a bookcase in a newsroom.
I didn't notice
in the
that.
Fucking news studio.
Is that abnormal? Ooh. I guess it is. Oh, yeah. I forgot there was a news scene.
You have fucking put a
bookcase news? In. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the newscasters,
yeah. Yeah, I didn't notice a bookcase.
Fucking big-ass bookcase.
With books on it?
Yeah.
Maybe like to read during the commercials.
So. Law books? I mean, they're a pretty fucking big book.
And then I wrote down the zombie makeup of the cop in the car, but I guess we can just generalize on all the effects.
Makeup overall, I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah, it was really, really good makeup.
Yeah, they had no money, and it was two guys that did it. It was a guy and so it was one guy who was an effects guy, and then it was some kid that they gave him. As like an apprentice, like a 17-year-old kid, who had no idea what he was doing. So that was it. That was the whole entire effects crew. That's pretty fucking impressive.
Yeah. No, there was a lot. I mean, you got the cop in the car. I mean, that was awesome. They chewed him up bad.
We talked about the heart scene. That looked really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he puts his hand into the chest.
Yeah, it looks good.
He does that a couple times. He sticks his hand through somebody else too. Yeah. Yep. I like that. So, no, the effects in here were awesome.
Yeah, they were. I was
for
actually pretty
being what the budget was.
Did you notice the scene where at the Halloween party, and he goes and he reaches down, and he goes, it looks like he's going to rip that girl's top off, and then he didn't. Did you happen to notice that?
Yeah.
But it feels awkward because you think he's going to rip her top off, but he actually doesn't. So another interesting factoid there. They shot two versions of the movie, and this was normal in the 80s. You'd shoot a TV version and a video version, theatrical version. In Return of the Living Dead, if you watch the TV cut, the jacket that Freddy wears, in the movie it says, fuck you, on the back. In the TV version, the jacket says, TV version, on the back. On the back of his coat. They actually put that in text on the back. In this movie, they had shot the scene where he rips her top off and a scene where he doesn't. And they were watching it, and they decided, this is so weird. They decided that was too gratuitous. That he needed a reason to rip her top off, and he didn't. But they didn't need a reason to have the woman full frontal, full bush nude in the shower.
Yeah.
But they felt uncomfortable with the topless scene of the girl at the party.
Maybe they didn't want to make it look like it was rape or something.
But he's a zombie, and later, he does, when he's eating that girl, he definitely, is feeling her up.
I saw that.
Yeah,
his hand on her tits.
He did, yeah. It was really weird.
Fucking creepy.
Oh, I forgot about that, yeah.
And did you ever notice that every scene where, that happens, it's always Heinzman doing it? The girl in, the bra that he takes the heart out,
his hand's always on a tit.
Yeah, his hands are always on their tits.
Yeah.
He's married, but he was probably baby, it's for the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, a zombie would
That's
definitely...
That's a good excuse, though, I mean.
Get a little fucking...
But I found that interesting that the movie that had full frontal bush for no reason would think that a topless scene is too gratuitous.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had his hand right on that
he
fucking
did.
Titty.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. It looked to me like he was just trying to cop a feel. And a zombie doesn't really care about that, so.
He's just a creepy
No
bastard.
Zombie boner?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Technically, a zombie shouldn't even have a dick because it should have rotted off by then.
Yeah, you figure that'd probably be the first thing to go.
It is, yeah. It'll go, yeah. It's an extremity. It's going to rot and
flesh.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. You know, actually, speaking of zombies, not to get off topic, that's one thing I like about The Walking Dead. That they started in, they started showing you that, the zombie that's, completely covered in moss stuck in a tree.
Right.
Because they're just rotting corpses.
Yeah.
So the thing is still, technically alive, but it can't do it because its body's completely rotted now. Because really all it needs is its brain to function.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, zombie movies, you have to suspend disbelief because they would have rotted by that point anyway.
Yeah.
You know, a rotting body in the hot sun.
There's a time limit.
Right. But in The Walking Dead, they've been going for, 4 years, and they're still walking around, so... You have to just assume that the virus...
It's continually spreading.
Right, but the virus allows your skin to not rot as fast or something.
Yeah, breaks down. Yeah.
You have to just make your own reasons.
But in Flesh Eater, it's kind of more of a demonic...
Yeah, it is.
...zombie.
It is,
So
they kind of hint at it, so...
Yeah. And then you got the scene with when he bites that vampire's nose off. Dude, that was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, it was.
That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. That guy needed to die quick, though.
Yeah, he was kind of a douchebag.
He was a douche.
Yeah.
God, my party.
Yeah, that was the producer.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
It was, yeah.
It ends basically basically, I'm going to give away the ending, so if you don't want to know the ending, if you want to watch it.
If you saw Night of the Living Dead, you know how
it ends. If you
saw
Night of the Living Dead, you know how this ends. It ends the exact same way.
It is. Yeah. He rips it off completely.
Yep. Basically, the two that survive come walking out of a barn, and they think they're zombies, and dude with a sniper rifle shoots them in the head.
Yes.
It's the old guy, too.
Yeah.
I got him.
Pops him off with his 30-odd sex.
I'm getting used to this shit.
It's much more effective in Night of the Living Dead than it is in Flesh Eater.
It's more believable in Night of the Living Dead.
Yes. But Night of the Living Dead,
it depends on which one you're talking about, because in the original, the black guy survives and they shoot him because they think he's a zombie.
Right.
And in the remake, he is a zombie.
Right. No, I'm talking about the original.
Yeah. So in the original, he's still alive when they kill him.
Yeah. The original's much more interesting with that stuff. He wasn't trying to make any kind of statement here with this. So.
And that is Flesh Eater. What did you think of the score? I know you put up the whole soundtrack, so.
At first I liked it, until all I heard was...
Yeah, you hear that throughout the whole movie.
Oh yeah, this one, I forgot about this song. It's just a dude saying come over and over again. Like... Okay. Tell me that's not, like, what is the point of this song? No, it's some other guy. And this song was written for this movie. It's called The Zombie Shuffle, or Come to Me. But it's...
The Zombie Shuffle.
I know. Like this, when I hear that title, this is what I picture, right? Them, like, with these grand illusions of, like, the next time warp. You know, like, everybody... you know what I mean? Like, everybody in a line, like, doing... It's like Thriller dance.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But it's a zombie shuffle. But it's just this guy going... Come, 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 come. Like, it's vulgar. Like, it sounds, like, dirty.
There's, like an entire, like, zombie band.
There's a hidden message.
And the way he moans it out, it's like, the whole thing is really bizarre to me. I can't tell if it's a joke or if, I was listening to it at work. I'm like, I'm going to listen to the soundtrack. And the rest of the soundtrack is just a variation of that stupid tune.
Yeah, it is.
But this one is so random that I wanted to play it because... Is it still playing?
It's fading out, yeah.
It's just, the zombie shuffle. Yeah. But, like, could you imagine, like, a bunch of people lined up, like, on Halloween, and this song comes on, and they're all, like, doing, like, a synchronized dance to this?
That'd be hilarious.
It's, like, 4.5 minutes of this.
Imagine, yeah, like, you're doing, like, a Halloween show, you got your house all decorated.
Yeah, and you throw this song
out. And you throw this song out for Halloween.
People are going to be like, what the fuck?
Come to me.
Yeah.
Kids are going to be like, what the hell are you playing?
Yeah, it sounds like a dude, like finishing. Like, he's like, I'm going to come, come, come. You know what I mean? That's what I think of when I hear it. The way it works up to it, he's like, I'm going to.
It's like an 80s porn movie?
Come, come, come. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why. It's the first thing I thought of when I heard it. The rest of the score, though, man, like, I swear there's a point where the score is playing. It's the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then it fades. So it gets to the end of the track and it's like do-do-do-do-do. And then it fades out, right? And you're like, oh, it's finally done. And then it goes, it's like it's on a loop. And it starts to go, do-do-do-do-do-do. Like, you get this 2-second gap where the track ended and then it re-looped itself. Like, they didn't even bother to edit it together. So you can tell that it's just a back-to-back track, and they let it fade out and then come back in. It's really bad. That song got under my skin fast. It's the entire movie is that stupid piano playing. I'm not saying it's a bad theme. I'm saying it's bad for an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a bad
theme. Well, it's no worse than the Trooper, who played music almost the entire film. Right. That entire movie was music.
Right, but for some reason, this stood out to me more, and I don't know why. Yeah, it didn't have the. This one has a zombie shuffle. That one had the Chupa Man. Anyway, I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this.
Surprisingly, watch it again.
Yeah, I've seen it once before, and then watching it again, I actually really liked it this time.
Like, I didn't think it was good, but I still enjoyed it.
Nah, yeah. I wouldn't watch it again.
No, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's like, it didn't put me to sleep, so I don't think I'm gonna watch it again.
It didn't put me to sleep. It didn't put me to sleep, but.
Yeah.
It was just a pretty...
It is. It is. I think...
It was a predictable ending.
It is, absolutely.
It had a very predictable ending. And
oh, it is, yeah. I think it's like a mindless. I think that's why I like
some
it.
Good titty shots.
Yeah, me too.
You
yeah.
could throw it on. Like, I could throw that movie on and, like, you wouldn't miss a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you could go and, like, take a dump and come back 10 minutes later and it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, this is definitely like something you're just doing you want background movie.
It is. It's what it is.
Yeah, that's what this is. I mean, I would probably 6 out of 10 for me, maybe.
Yeah, I would.
Five
go,
and a half, six.
Yeah, I'd go a little lower, I think.
I'm thinking 4.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 5, 4.5, 5. A little bit lower. Yeah. But doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it, but I can't say it's like a high rating because it's not a good movie. Like, I couldn't necessarily tell somebody that they should see it, but I know why it's something that I just had fun watching.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
You know?
I mean,
I know a lot of people.
I would
hate
watch
it
again, and yeah, I mean, I would probably recommend it.
The right person.
To the right person, yeah. To recommend this to. Because this is like my style of movie. Cheesy.
It is really
bad,
cheesy, yeah.
You know, it's what I like to watch.
Low budget effects, shot on 16mm.
Yeah. That was Flesh Eater.
Yep.
So what's going on for next show, Adam?
All right, I guess we are going to cover 2 independent films. We're going to do Lost Faith from 2014, which you can only find on, what was the site? Do you remember?
Cinema something.
Yeah, Cinema something. That's right.
Cinema something.
I subscribe to this newsletter. It's the it's Cult Movie Mania.
There you go.
So if you go to Cult Movie Mania, you can find a link to Lost Faith. It's like $2.99 for a rental. Anyway, it's an 80s throwback, throwback to 80s like kung fu cop movies, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. The other one we're going to watch is called Lucky Bastard from 2014, and that's about a guy who's chosen to have sex with a porn star. And he ends up being a little bit more off-kilter than they had anticipated. Things go bad very quickly.
Okay.
So it's going to be an interesting show because that one's... We got an NC-17 now, so... Not for the kiddies.
No? No kiddies this time?
Do not watch it with your daughters. Because I think you're going to be very, very uncomfortable.
Be covering a lot of eyes.
Yes.
So, all right, that'll be for next show.
All right, sounds good.
Anything else?
Nope.
Jeff?